The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. Today's show will include a conversation regarding a theatrical production of the Diary of Anne Frank being put on by students in the McLean County Diversity Project in partnership with the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, where the performances will be given tomorrow and Wednesday evening. I'll talk with Tricia Stiller, who's the director of the play. And then I'll talk with Paul McKenna of the Paul McKenna Band, a group of traditional Scottish musicians, young fellows who are going to be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana on the Piper's Hut concert series tomorrow night, and hear some great music from that band. It's live and local on FM 90.9. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Tricia Stiller, who is the director of a production by the McLean County Diversity Project of The Diary of Anne Frank. And it's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on the 10th and the 11th, which I guess is tomorrow and Wednesday. Curtain rises at 7 o'clock, it says right here. Tricia is also executive director of the Downtown Bloomington Association and got tapped a couple years ago, to launch this theatrical aspect of the McLean County Diversity Project. Tricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you having me.
Can you give us an overview on the project and then how you got involved in the theater and how they even decided to have a theater aspect?
It has been 3 years now since the founder of the McLean County Diversity Project approached me. Let me just back up a little bit and explain. The project is a wonderful program offered to students middle school and through high school, through seniors in high school, that they do all kinds of interactions and explorations. The project's mission is to foster a functional and rational acceptance of the differences which reside in all of us. And it's such a delight to work with these kids who truly are learning and embracing the concept of unconditional living. They're getting to know different faith systems, they've explored physical limitations, economic limitations. They just go out into the community and interact and learn and grow from one another. It's delightful. And Jeff Schwartz is the gentleman who founded the project, and he approached me because he was very well aware that he had some of his students participating were creative individuals who could benefit from having a creative component to their research and to their learning. And so we kind of met, talked about that, and I fully agree. There's something very magical about diving into telling a story, because you have to literally feel what your characters are feeling in order to convey their stories correctly. And there's nothing that will help you be more successful in understanding another one's perspective than walking in their shoes. And only through theatrical participation can you actually achieve that for a brief period of time. So it's been very exciting. And like you mentioned, this year we are doing The Diary of Anne Frank, which is an incredible story. Surely everyone has heard about it by now, but it's a true story of a young Jewish girl who along with her family, was forced into hiding during the Nazi regime, the years of the late 1930s and 40s into World War II. So.
And, I'm astounded to say, I think truthfully, that I have never read The Diary of Anne Frank, believe it or not.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I remember reading it in school, but it's been a wonderful reconnect for me because so many years have passed and I have, you know, new perspectives and new insights as I've gotten much, much older. And it's been great to not only reconnect myself with the importance of this story, but watch these young people. It's phenomenal to see their sensitivities and their outrage that this actually happened, and not that many decades ago, that this actually happened to a family for no other reason than the fact that they were Jewish. So it's been a great exploration, like I said.
Before we talk a little bit more about this year's production, this is, I think, the third one, as mm-hmm. you said. And I remember we talked about the first one, the Laramie Project. I don't remember if we talked about David and Lisa last year.
I don't think we did. Sorry about that, Kevin. I don't think that we did have an opportunity to connect last year with David and Lisa. But that was another exciting exploration. Our topic, David and Lisa, was the study of mental illness, and we actually worked closely with a gentleman who successfully controls his schizophrenia. He was our guide throughout the project, and he was very open in sharing what his realities were and what his challenges were living with that condition. And that, again, was something that we were very, very proud of, and we got a lot of positive feedback from the mental health community, both in Champaign-Urbana and in Bloomington-Normal.
So the project chooses a theme each year, and then who chooses the theatrical element?
Well, that's something that I'm kind of given a green light on. I'm given the theme, and then I kind of look through my script library, do some research, and try to find the perfect fit for the kids that I'll be working with. Like I said, they're middle school through high school, that I know that they can handle, and that will represent the theme to the best of our ability. So I think so far so good. I think we're this year's theme, of course, is freedom of religion, and so we chose the Diary of Anne Frank specifically because religion was at the core of an individual's persecution. So,
well, let's talk about this particular production. There are scholars involved in the project, and I'm curious what that means, and then what's their involvement with the play, and put another way, how do you cast the play?
The scholars is the term that is used by the project to refer to all who participate. So the students are the scholars, and we hold auditions. Now, because the scholars have already expressed interest, and again, the scholars are the students that participate in the program. That's just the name that the program chooses to use to describe the kids. There's an audition process, but because they are participating in the project, no one will be turned away. The audition process is basically for me to determine the best fit between actor and role. So we have two nights of auditions. Participants will read selections from the script. We'll mix it up a little bit until it is determined what the best fit is based on the individual's, you know, natural personality and characteristics, and also ability and confidence and that sort of thing. And it's amazing because many, many of the kids have been with me from the first day of this theatrical component. So they've been in all three productions, and their growth has been just impressive and fun to watch. So,
are all the kids in the cast, are they all scholars in the diversity project, or is it also open to other people as well?
That's a great question. It actually is open to others, and sometimes I've had to do some recruiting because I've had a project that needs more participants than are choosing to do the theatrical part of the diversity project. Now, the kids in the diversity project have choices. Those who are not theatrically inclined can do construction work. They've gone out and done, you know, they've built ramps for those with disabilities and that sort of thing. So it's a choice. They have options. But sometimes I have projects that require more actors than I have. So I'll go out and I'll recruit from a talent pool that's pretty pretty phenomenal here in Bloomington Normal. We have a great number of theatrical outlets, and our paths cross many times. So I always know who I can call when I need them. And they I also have some adults this year who are rounding out the cast for me. And that's this new this year to me to the project is we have some incidental music that some of the students. Scholars, if you will, are orchestra members and wanted to know if there was a way that they could also participate in our production. And so a young student named Kristen Coe has been working with her music teacher, Sally Hoffman, and they have modified the score to Schindler's List and will be performing that during the intermission and also through some scene transitions for us. So adding a nice new dimension to this story that we're telling. I'm excited about that.
You said that there are a couple of adults in the cast. It's not a large cast. Is it? It's just a few characters, or are there additional ones besides the few who are in
There are 11 cast members, but just to give the show the appropriate depth, I thought it would be more effective to have some adults playing. Anne's father, for example, is a friend of mine who was also, he also played the psychiatrist last year in David and Lisa for me. He's a gentleman by the name of Alan Popowski, who's come in to play Otto Frank. And I also have a gentleman playing the lead Nazi, if you will. He's not a named Nazi, but the head of the Nazi regime that comes in at the end of the story. Not to spoil the story, but it doesn't have a happy ending, which is in keeping with the true story of Anne Frank. So, but I thought that it would be much more effective from a theatrical standpoint to have some age to that role.
So the kids who are involved in the project as they're getting into this play, what's their experience been like delving into the life of Anne Frank and, as you said earlier, essentially becoming Anne and her siblings and colleagues there?
They, you know, these kids are such exemplary young people, and they've jumped into this project absolutely with both feet and have been absorbing every detail they possibly could. Now, many of them, this is following through their history classes. They're studying the story at school as well. So they're getting factual information at school, and then they'll come to rehearsal, and we look at the emotional sides, you know, of a story like this. And then we've tried through the rehearsal process to look at current events and make some contemporary connections and think about, you know, has the world really changed that much since Anne's ordeal? And we've done a lot of that kind of thinking, a lot of that kind of projecting, and these students have truly made a connection. They feel as though they're honoring a friend of theirs, and I'm not exaggerating in that. They're proud to tell Anne's story. They understand the importance of telling Anne's story, and they've worked so hard to tell it to the best of their ability. I can't say enough how overwhelmed I have been by their efforts and how proud I am by their work.
So who do we have as the main cast members?
A young actress, and this is her third year with me. Her name is Sage McCracken. She played several roles the first year in The Laramie Project. And then last year, she was Lisa in David and Lisa. And this year, she's tackling the role of Anne. And, you know, she would be embarrassed if she heard me tell this. But this young lady has no idea how good she is. She's just completely humble. There's no ego. I mean, she just dives right in and does her work. And I've really never encountered anyone quite like her. And she just has taken Anne to such a personal level and helped us all, really, I think, by her embodiment of the character, helped us all make that connection that I mentioned just a minute ago. We truly believe that we know Anne, and we are doing this for her.
It's the Diary of Anne Frank being put on by the McLean County Diversity Project. The director of the theatrical component of the project is Tricia Stiller, and the show is tomorrow and Wednesday, 7 o'clock each evening at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, and you can go to their website to get tickets. Well, I just go to artsblooming.org. There are various ways to get to that website, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's the easy way to do it, absolutely.
And Tricia happens to be also executive director of the Downtown Bloomington Association. Thanks very much for joining us, and best of luck with the show.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
We heard some music by Gabriel Fauré, from first Pelléas and Mélisande, the suite that included The Death of Mélisande, the final movement from that four-segment suite here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that, by the way, sort of closing out conversation with Tricia Stiller about the Anne Frank. The Diary of Anne Frank from the McLean County Diversity Project, which is going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow and Wednesday night. And for more information, you can Google artsblooming.org about how to get tickets for that. And I'm actually doing a little bit of stalling here at the moment because trying to upload my next interview, which just came through. And then we heard also music by Fauré, the Kitty Waltz from his suite called Dolly, with both of those with the Boston Symphony led by Seiji Ozawa. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Stay tuned for my conversation with Paul McKenna of the Paul McKenna Band, who are going to be at the Independent Media Center in Urbana on the Piper's Hut concert series.
The heather well feed, and the bracken well die. Streams will run cold and clear, and the small birds will be going. And it's then you will be knowing that the terror time is here. Mm-hmm. that the work so done and the fair marm does need ye, and the king so when I heed ye, and the terror time is here. The woods give me shelter, and the trees they are bare. The snow is lying all around, and the children they are crying for the bed on which they're lying is frozen to the ground. And when you need the warmth of your own humankind, you move near a town and the sight of you is offending, and the police they soon are sending, and you're on the road again. The heather will fade and the bracken will die. Streams will run cold and clear, and the small birds will be going, and it's then you will be knowing that the tenor time is here.
My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Paul McKenna, the namesake of the Paul McKenna Band, Scottish musicians. I've got myself in trouble there, who are playing on the Piper's Hut concert series in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, which is adjacent to Lincoln Square in the old post office building. And we just heard a tune off of their latest album called Stem the Tide, and the tune was called Terror Time. Paul, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, thank you.
And if we hear folks in the background, you're sitting in a restaurant, which was better than the car connection we tried earlier.
Yes, slightly.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Sorry for the trip up on Irish versus Scottish.
But
you do incorporate both types of music and also some others in this latest album.
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of Irish music as well as Scottish music. We're based in Glasgow, so there's a lot of Irish music in Glasgow as well. So we don't mind being called Irish.
Although the accent should give you away for sure, including in the song.
It should. Although some people do still have to ask.
Well, I find in listening as an American English speaker, to find Scottish dialect more complicated to hear somehow or another. Seems like there's more vowels involved. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's a bit harder for people to understand us. When we come to America, we try our best to speak proper English. Difficult.
Yeah, I'm quite sure. So the name Terror Time is sort of an indicator of a lot of what's on this new album, which, to quote a reviewer, is a bit of a geography lesson, history lesson, and a lesson in political science rolled into one and given a really good shake, which actually seems like a pretty good description. Where does the political side of this disc come from?
I think it was unconscious. I don't think we set out to be a political band or to have any kind of statement. But I suppose just the songs that we've chosen are slightly on the political side. And I suppose that, a lot of songs apolitical. It just depends which way you look at them. So it's not something that we set out to be doing, you know, political stuff. But you know, a couple of the songs on there do have that kind of slant on them.
But you do definitely have chosen songs that certainly tell aspects of history as well, and that
yeah.
that can be given a political slant to them. What's your what are your criteria for choosing songs for albums so far? I know this is just your second one.
It's a fairly difficult process. We, you know, we get together and decide if we need where we need new material, and it can be a fairly dragged out process to try and get some new songs together that everybody likes and songs that aren't kind of overdone in any way. And all, I mean, if the song's got a good meaning behind it, then definitely that's something that we try to go for.
And you try to straddle different styles, for example, Scottish versus Irish, but also there's one a song in particular that deals very much with American, Southern American event, anyway.
We choose. We're trying to do a good mix of Scottish and Irish, probably more Scottish, being from Scotland, but a couple of us are from Irish backgrounds. And have all Irish families, so the Irish stuff comes fairly naturally to us as well. And just the regard to the American song was written by Tim O'Brien on the album, and Guy Clark. It's just another style of music that we all do. Love Tim O'Brien's music and have listened to it quite a lot, so picked that song up and tried our best with it.
What's the balance of songs by yourselves as opposed to songs you pick up from other people?
It's probably we try and do a couple of our own songs on both albums we've had so far. We've had two or three of our own on each album. And you know, I write most of the songs, and I wouldn't say that I'm a songwriter as such. I just write the occasional song, and if it's good enough, then we try it out and play it. But a lot of the time we do pick traditional songs, and you know, songs written by other people.
As an acoustic Celtic band, you inevitably have to include some ballads or slower songs because some of these can be really beautiful. I pulled one off of your first CD, which is called Between Two Worlds. Not sure if is it Lyrig?
Lyrig.
Yeah, Lyrig.
Yeah.
Is that a person?
No, the Lyrig was a song written by Robert Burns. And the Lyrig just refers to the certain part of the field, as far as I'm aware. I hope I get this right. Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah, well, I thought you sang it beautifully, and I just wanted to give listeners a bit of a feel of the more lyrical side of things. It's Paul McKenna Band. Paul McKenna is the singer, lead singer, and when we hear guitar, is that generally you on here?
Yeah, generally, for the most part, it's myself.
Okay, so it's Lyrig from Between Two Worlds, the CD with the Paul McKenna Band, who are going to be at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And you're listening to Live and Local.
When on the hill the evening star I need you.
The song is called Lyrig by Robert Burns and sung here by Paul McKenna of the Paul McKenna Band from their disc called Between Two Worlds. Their newest one, CD, is called Stem the Tide. You're working on, or maybe you've finished by now, a degree in Scottish music, And at least one of your band members has a degree in Scottish music. I was sort of surprised fairly recently to learn that you could study traditional music. For some reason, I thought that's just something you picked up and didn't actually study formally. What's the process of doing that? What all do you have to learn?
Well, both of us are now finished, and we've got our degrees from that course. And it's like any other music course. You have a principal instrument study or vocal study, and also another instrument, and other modules are, you know, in history and in the history of Scotland, the history of the music, business side of things, performance studies. It's really to gear you to set you up for the life of a professional musician as such. It's just like any other music course at any university, only it's traditional music that we're taught.
Do you take vocal lessons?
It's not so much vocal lessons as in trained like classical vocal training or anything like that. It's just an oral. It's an oral tradition. So songs are just basically are passed on to us by tutors who are very well-respected traditional singers in Scotland, and they will work with us on a weekly basis and give us past songs on to us and, you know, give us tips about the different styles of singing, of traditional singing.
So otherwise they take your voice where it is rather than trying to develop the voice itself.
Yeah. I mean, there is some ways that they will try and, you know, influence or help you, not influence, help you with the singing as well. Obviously, being singers, they do know a bit about the more trained side of things, but that's not really a big part of it. It's more just the passing on of songs.
I was sort of curious because you have such a wonderful voice, it's very characterful, and one of the things that I've personally enjoyed about a lot of Scottish and Irish bands, whether they're traditional or not, is that, for lack of a better term, it always sounds to me like the voices are more manly than a lot of American rock bands. You know, where you use your natural voice instead of trying to sound like some high soprano almost. It's a very odd phenomenon, it seems to me.
Yeah, and I think that's just the tradition. That's just the, you know, we use our own accent. We don't try and you know, a lot of pop bands and stuff, they'll have a kind of, even if they're from Scotland or England, or, you know, they'll have that kind of American or Atlantic twang. But we just try and use our own accent as much as possible.
Well, but even also just your own natural voice, without contorting it into something else, which I personally appreciate and I've really enjoyed hearing.
Thank you.
Let's hear an instrumental tune. This is one that I wonder if it's paired up with another song that we're going to hear in a moment. This is called Darcy and Darian, and then you have a song called The Dreams of Darian, which is not an instrumental. Is it the same Darian?
No, the instrumental one is actually Darcy and Erin's.
Oh, is it spelled wrong? It must be wrong on iTunes then.
Yeah, maybe. It's actually Darcy and Erin's.
How do you spell that?
Erin's is E-R-I-N.
Oh, yeah, they've got that all wrong.
Yeah.
Well then, we'll just jettison that question and play the song. This is Darcy and Erin, a lovely instrumental with the Paul McKenna Band here on Live and Local. Called Darcy and Erin from the album called Stem the Tide, which is the new one from the Paul McKenna Band. The band's going to be at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. Paul McKenna's on the phone with me now from a Cracker Barrel somewhere between Indianapolis and Ann Arbor, Michigan, I think. And we were talking earlier about some of the songs having a historical element to them. And yes. Is Dreams of Darien one of those?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the songs that I wrote myself. And that's about a historic event in Scotland's past, which not many people, not a lot of people would know about. And it was a very important, very important time, and led to the downfall of Scotland's economy and basically the reason why they were bribed into joining the United Kingdom.
Do you have a personal interest in delving into Scottish history, that you come up with some of these stories?
Yeah, I suppose that was maybe a result of studying some aspects of the history while at university. And that was one of the topics that came up, and I wanted to investigate it a bit more.
Well, you obviously feel strongly about it, because it doesn't sound, when you sing, as if you're just describing a historical event. It sounds like you describe it with passion and and a lot of feeling. So you must feel strongly about how a lot of this has affected contemporary life.
Yeah. It's had a huge effect as to the way the country has evolved, I suppose, over the last couple of hundred years. So it's a very important part in the history.
Well, it's a contemporary band, not only musically but also historically in that sense. And I think folks will enjoy hearing you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
No problem. Thank you very much. I look forward to the show.
Paul McKenna Band, Dreams of Darien. They're going to be at the Piper's Hut Concert, on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. For more information on the Piper's Hut Series, go to pipers-hut.com. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local.
I'm David Teal from WILL-TV. Join me this October for a Friends of WILL tour of London, Yorkshire, and Wales. We'll see stately homes and splendid scenery with connections to some of our most popular TV programs. Three-night stays in each of our locales offer us plenty of free time. Call us at 217-333-7300 or visit will.illinois.edu for more information.
And here's a look at our calendar of primarily musical events for the next couple of days. There's some jazz at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, as there often is, starting at 5 o'clock. It's actually a couple of recitals, jazz recitals with Chris Bucher and Christian Shore, hoping I'm saying their names right, 5 o'clock tonight. The Opus 24 Spring Concert, presented by the Decatur Choral Society, tomorrow evening at 7:30. And the location here is not the right location. Sorry about that. Parkland Big Band is at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, again in Urbana. Old Number 7 plays bluegrass at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And the Woody Woodward Organ Trio are at the Iron Post Wednesday evening at 5 o'clock. There must be many other things going on, but that's what I've got on my calendar here. Send us your events to Will Calendar at illinois.edu. It's W-Y-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. It'll be partly sunny and breezy this afternoon with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high temperature 80 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, also with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low 65. And tomorrow's outlook is for a mostly sunny day with a high of 88 degrees. We're currently at 74.